I've written on the board, someone is at your gate. You ever been in the house before when the doorbell rings, where you hear a knock at the door and one of the children may say, "Hey, Dad, somebody's at the door." Been there before? The only way you can find out what you personally have to do with the fact that somebody is at your door and ringing the doorbell is for you to stop what you're doing and to go to the door and open the door and find out what's going on. Has anybody ever not opened the door before when the doorbell rang? You know, there's always reasons, and we've probably employed numerous of them, to not open the door. Sometimes we don't hear the door bell ring. Sometimes we might be on the phone, and it's not convenient to hang up the phone and go answer the door. Sometimes we look outside and maybe we don't want to open the door for whatever reason. Maybe we feel it's unsafe, or maybe we're not prepared to talk with whoever's on the other side of that door. There's always reasons not to answer the door and to see what it is that you personally might have to do with what's on the other side of that knock and that doorbell. And whatever it is that is standing in between you and what's on the other side of the door. But there are some knocks, and this is my burden this morning, there are some knocks at our door. There are some opportunities. There are times when our attention has been endeavored to be captured that the Lord doesn't want to be left unnoticed or unattended. And I'd like to speak to that subject a little bit this morning. And I'd like to turn in the 26th chapter of Acts and read a few verses here. And we'll start at the 12th verse, Acts 26 and verse 12. It says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests." Now, just shortly, Paul is preparing to give his defense before King Agrippa. That's what's happening right here. And so he's beginning to give his testimony and his defense to the king. "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.'" And I feel like this morning that these verses 16 through 18, spell out God's plan in part and in varying degrees for every one of us that are here this morning. Did you know that God has a special desire That each one of us that are here today would be a minister and would be a help to other people, to help open their eyes, to help turn them from darkness to light, to help them be able to get a hold of the fact that there is a God that loves them, that has a power and a strength for them, that goes beyond the power of Satan that pulls us down in so many ways. The Lord wants me and He wants you as people of God to have a place in His body, a special place that only you can fill to help show the love of God to a lost world that is in grave need of salvation. Haven't we all been there? Haven't we all been in the place? Do we not continue to be in the place where we need God's mercy upon our lives? I believe this morning that the Lord is also calling us to be ministers to people, to be there and available to a world and to a people, down to individuals that are hurting. And I'm speaking now of not just the lost, but I'm also speaking of those that perhaps were around every day. Do you know there's a lot of people in the world that are hurting? There's a lot of people today that experience a daily emptiness in their heart, loneliness, depression, anxiety, feeling like they don't belong, feeling inadequate, not sure what place they really feel, maybe have lost something that's dear to them and they're struggling with it. And you know what we normally do? I'll raise my hand. You know what I normally do? I do the best I can to put a smile on my face and go out and meet the world as if nothing's wrong. When sometimes inside we have needs that hurt and they're real. And yet often we go out into the workplace, into our neighborhoods, right here in the congregation, and we put on our Sunday clothes and look the best that we can, and we come to service, and many, many times our need escapes the notice of those that are right around us. And I believe that God is calling us to open our eyes, to fill a place that we can be a help to those that are in need. You may say, I'm not able or I'm not worthy of that calling. Did you know that we're all able if we will? Said this oftentimes, preach the word always, and use words when necessary. You know that we can all show kindness to other people. You don't have to be some great orator to be. In fact, that usually doesn't work real well in God's work. People that are very skilled in their speaking, very intelligent, understand the use of the English language. If that's all you have, most often you miss the need that is in people's heart. People want to feel connected. People want to feel that you care. People want to feel a genuine concern rather than just empty words. We all learn and are programmed how to use the right words, How you doing today? Doing fine. How are you doing? Doing great. Well, I've been thinking about you. Really? Yeah. Are you doing good? Yep. Then you go on your way. And have you really been thinking about them? Do you really care if they're doing well? Did the person that you were just talking with, did they feel the genuineness with what it was you just communicated to them? Or did they just hear words while your eyes were going somewhere else and they could tell your mind was on the next person that you were going to talk to? God wants us to be genuine people with a Christ-like care and concern and love. And all of us here are capable of showing kindness to other people. You say, well, I don't know what my place is regarding taking the hope of the gospel. I'm encouraged with the fact that Paul failed the Lord right up there. I mean, he was one of the great offenders. He put Christians to death. And had he wanted to, he could have taken the position that I'm not worthy to take the gospel of Christ to the world. But Jesus Christ came to bring us forgiveness. He came to bring us redemption. And He came to bring us a special place that only we can fill regardless of our past. A special place that we can take the gospel of Christ, and then only the way that we can, by the power and the help of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, to a people, perhaps to a person, to an individual that is in great need of feeling your love and for hearing the hope of the gospel. You know, this morning, each one of us here have plans and purposes in our lives, both short and long term, pertaining to ourselves, pertaining to those that are close to us. And we give ourselves to achieving those goals, those objectives, those responsibilities. We apply ourselves many times and spend our days planning for tomorrow and for next week, and sometimes for years in advance, all the way down to when am I going to get the grass mowed next. We apply ourselves to those sorts of things all the time. But I wonder this morning what our vision is, what our purpose in life is, really, regarding the needs of other people. I wonder how it plays in to the plans that we have, not what I'm going to do when I get in a more qualified position or a better position or figure out a way to get out of my comfort zone, but what am I going to do today to help somebody that God has put before me? I remember a time that I was so impressed with the fact that people are souls. I know that may sound like an obvious thing, but I remember one time being in Houston on business, and I was in a hotel, and I was up high, and it was a big hotel, and you could look out of whatever floor you were on. I was looking down into the atrium, and unlike today in hotels, where there's not a lot of people there in hotels right now, back then, and this was a long time, there were people everywhere. People looked like ants down there, just scurrying all over the place. And I remember looking at all of those people down there, just watching them, and all of a sudden it hit me. Every last one of those people have a soul. Every single one of those people are going to face God. Every one of them are going to go to the judgment, just like I'm going to go to the judgment. Every one of them have needs just like I have needs. I've sat in the Atlanta airport many times. And Atlanta airport is the busiest airport in the world. I don't know how they rank right now with what's going on, but Atlanta is the busiest airport. Not the biggest, but it's the busiest. And I've sat many times, just sat and watched the people go by. Hordes of them, thousands of them, people everywhere. And sit there and begin to think, every one of these people are going to face God. Every one of these people have a soul. Every single one of these people are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. Every one of them. And every single one of those people that look like they're on a mission, and most of the time they are. They're on a mission, got places to go, things to do. But I fear the majority of those people are hurting and have needs in their lives and are struggling with things that oftentimes we just miss. And this morning, I'm challenged with the fact that I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for every single person that's here this morning. Everybody that's here, no one's left out. He has something for us that He wants us to be willing to do to help somebody. I can't reach all the hordes of people in Houston or in Atlanta. I can't do that. But instead of withdrawing and saying I'm way too inadequate to address this big problem that I potentially see in front of me, there might be someone. One of the last things Jesus told His disciples, said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our commission today, y'all. To take the gospel to the world. Sometimes we think, well, the world, it's this nebulous. Sometimes I wonder if it'd be good for us to just have a Bible study on what that means. The world. It gets kind of gray and we're not sure. What do we mean by when we say go out into the world? It can seem far off. The world is sitting right around us this morning. The world lives right around us. We work with the world. Jesus said, go into the world and take the gospel. And the scripture said that for God so loved the world that He gave. Did you know that we are not going to be effective Christians without being willing to give? Oftentimes that's what stops us. It's we want to fill the place until we have to give too much, until we have to give where it starts to hurt, until we have to give where it starts to interrupt what my plans and purposes were for today and tomorrow and for next week and maybe for the rest of my life. Sometimes the Lord has ways of turning our plans upside down. And it's like, okay, well, I guess that's not my lot for life. I guess that's not what I'm going to do. But God in heaven provided such a poignant, beautiful example for us to follow in that He gave that was most important to Him. He gave His Son. He gave what He loved. And the scriptures tell us, and we read that the Lord came down and it said, for the joy that was set before Him, talking about Jesus, it said that He went to the cross, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame that went along with making that decision. Because why?
because of the joy that was on the other side of the cross. The joy, what is he talking about? The joy of what? I believe the joy went two ways. It was the joy of being able to redeem a people and bring the hope of the gospel to a people that otherwise had no hope. And the Lord, He found satisfaction, and I believe He reveled when He looked over at the thief and said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Beautiful! The Lord saw the opportunity to bring joy to that man whose heart had humbled itself, and it brought joy to Jesus Christ. And he was willing to give of himself. He expanded, and he was willing to go a little further in the garden. Yes, he had to pray three times. I've been encouraged by that. Sometimes I get done praying and I still don't feel like giving. Sometimes you pray a second time and you still don't feel like giving. Neither the Lord asked multiple times, "Is there some way we can do this without me giving this much?" So he went a little farther. And he went all the way to the cross. And that's why we're here this morning. That's why we have the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven, where otherwise we never would have been able to experience eternal life. And there's people that are out there today that need to hear the hope of the gospel. There are people that are out there, perhaps right among us, that need to feel the love of Christ. We're not going to reach everyone, but may God help us to have a desire in our hearts to fill a place where we want to touch the few. So the Lord exhorts us to be a light to the world. He exhorts us to give as we've been given. We're exhorted to be instant in season and out of season. Have you ever noticed it always seems like it's out of season to do the work of the Lord? Or is that just something I've experienced before? It's like, "Lord, you know, it sure seems like might be a whole lot better for me to do this maybe next week." Or, "Lord, you know, as soon as I better understand the situation, then maybe I'll step forward. Or, Lord, I got this thing I need. I've been planning this for a long time. Tomorrow, sure enough, that's I want to do." It's always seemed like it's maybe some other time to do the work of the Lord. I've been impressed many times. There's always a more convenient season. Now is the accepted time. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but if you go to the 6th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord gave Isaiah a vision, and basically he was asking him, who is willing to go and preach to the lost house of Israel that have shut their ears and shut their eyes to the truth? Who's willing? Who's willing to take the gospel into places where it's not easy to take the gospel? Did you know it's a whole lot easier for me to preach the gospel to a people who came to hear the gospel than to take the gospel to people who look like they don't want to have anything to do with it? But they're the ones that need it the most. Who's willing, the Lord said, to go? Who's willing to go out and get outside of their comfort zone? Go to a people who probably have not embraced holiness and the plan of salvation as we read in the Scriptures. Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but He came to call the unrighteous to repentance. You read on down, and pretty soon Isaiah asked, "Well, for how long? How long do we need to do this?" All the way to the end, you just keep doing it. Just don't give up. Just keep doing it until perhaps there's a day when the people who wouldn't have received the gospel have now passed on. But I want to tell you something this morning. There is always a remnant. There will always be a remnant. And you can make a difference with somebody. God's calling on you to make a difference with somebody. I've told this story many times, so put up with me. But I'm often challenged by the story, you know, of the old man that was walking down the beach with starfish, you know, as far as the eye could see on both sides of him, and he's and the ocean is right there, and they've been washed up onto shore, and they're going to die, and he's bending, picking one up, throwing it in the ocean. This boy came up and said, "Oh man, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing out here? You can't possibly have any kind of make a difference on this." The old man leaned down and picked one up, threw it into the water, and said, "Made a difference to that one. Wouldn't you like to have been that starfish?" We may not be able to make a difference to everyone. We won't be able to. But we can touch the few, if we will. It seems like we're so quick to find reasons that we're not best suited to share the hope of the gospel. And in the meantime, days pass. And opportunities pass us by. And they slip past, perhaps involving those that are closest to us, that are right around us. And before you know it, days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and then the phone call comes. "Did you hear that so-and-so is not with us anymore?" "What? Oh. Or so-and-so's moved away. They're gone. You won't have access to them anymore." Opportunity slipped by to somebody that we could have helped. Preaching to myself today too, because you know, sometimes we have to make opportunity. It's one thing to take advantage of the opportunities that pass our way. Sometimes we have to go further than that. Sometimes we have to make opportunity to be able to reach out to somebody that we believe we might be able to help. We might be able to help. We might reach out to many people, and maybe 99% of them go away and go, "Man, that sure was awkward. Didn't get anything out of that." But there might be one. There might be one that you made a difference to. Wouldn't you like to be that person? If you were the one in need, wouldn't you be glad that somebody reached out and helped you? I want to catch just for a couple minutes the parable in the 16th chapter of Luke before we close. In the 16th chapter of Luke, this is a well-known story of the rich man and Lazarus. And it said, "There was a rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." There was an end that came in both of their lives. There's an end that is going to come to my life and to your life at some point. There's an end. To the opportunities that we have today, there's an end coming. And I think about the rich man and Lazarus. It says that Lazarus was laid at his gate. He was at his gate. And then I think back and I wonder, there's always a first time. There's always a first time that the rich man drove by and was like, "Who's that? Who's that man out there at my gate? That's my gate. What's he doing at my gate? Who is he anyway? Oh, he looks like, I don't know if I want him at my gate. That's, where did he come from? He looks like he's in trouble. Man, I gotta get to the house. I don't know what he's doing there. Well, we'll see." And then I'm gonna think about it a while. As we think about it, we drive on. There's always that first time. And then the second time. Okay, he's still out there. There he is. He's still at my gate. and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. A week passes. A month passes. You think he saw him every time he drove by? I wonder. You know that we can get so accustomed to what's around us that we can start not even seeing it. How many power poles did you see on the way into church this morning? Anybody see any power poles? You passed a lot of them. But you're so used to seeing them. You pass by them all the time that pretty soon they go out of your vision. You don't see them anymore. Do you know that God doesn't want us to get to the place where we've got people sitting at our gate? Said Lazarus was sitting at his gate. And I wonder how many times we pass by the Lazaruses that are sitting at our gate. And for whatever reason, we passed on by when we had something that we could have imparted. I'm not trying to preach a message that's higher than where we live. I'm not saying that I'm trying to promote that we hit the brakes every time we see somebody. But I am challenged for myself, and invite you to be challenged too. That there are opportunities that God puts at my gate. He puts at your gate. This says he was at his gate. And Lazarus, it said the rich man, he fared sumptuously. Did you know that we are rich this morning in truth, in the knowledge of truth? We have been given a lot of talents of truth, the knowledge of truth, compared to many people that are out in the world today. We have the advantage of being taught where to go when we need help. And we can take it for granted. Well, everybody knows that. Maybe they don't. Everybody has that. Everybody can go get a piece of bread. I mean, I fare sumptuously. What's so hard about getting a piece? And we can blow right by where the needs are. And they may be right around us. And I'm challenged this morning that we open our eyes and get a vision of the responsibility and the capacity that you really do have by the help of the Lord to help somebody. To be the very one that they needed on that particular day to pass by their way. We pursue a lot of things in life, don't we? We got a lot of things on our schedule. A lot of interests. A lot of things that seem so important. And most of them pass away. Ask the rich man. He's still down there. Most of them pass away. I want to be moved to see people this morning as souls that are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And not just as a body that's passing by. And I'm challenged to recognize that there are people that may know the gospel, may be right around us, and they need our help. They need to feel the love of Christ. They need to have somebody show some interest and care about them. This morning, I believe there's likely somebody at your gate. I wonder how many Lazaruses, if I can say it that way, I wonder how many Lazaruses we pass by that God has put at our gate because He recognizes that whether we think we have it or not, we can impart something. might be a phone call that takes 10 minutes. It might be a card in the mail. It might be a genuine expression of care that takes all of 30 seconds, but it's done from the heart. Sometimes we make it more complicated than it is. People want to feel cared for. It's one of the greatest needs we have. And Jesus cared about us and me and you. And He wants us to care about other people. And I feel as human beings, I'm just speaking openly this morning, we're so apt to be so self-focused and self-consumed with our plans, what we want, what we don't like, what we're comfortable with, what we're not comfortable with. And yet, the Lord's calling us to give. Sometimes when it hurts. I don't want to miss the knock at my door. I don't want to miss the person standing at my gate. You know, it's likely that they're not knocking at your door like this. It's likely they're not ringing the doorbell. It's likely they're not hollering out, "Hey, Rod, I need, could you help me?" Sometimes they do. Sometimes we ignore that. Sometimes they don't do that. But if we'll listen, and we'll open our eyes and we'll pay attention, sometimes we'll hear the silent cries of help from those that are around us, that the Lord puts in our way as we live our lives. You know, people most often, at first, they don't need judgment and religion and condemnation. People need to feel love. People are drawn by love. They're not drawn by judgment and law and rules. People are drawn by love and genuine concern and care. God is love, and I need more of God's love in my life, because I believe that as we have more of God's love, the greater our eyes become open to the needs that are around us. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest." And those fields oftentimes are right around where we are. I'd like to end with this. The Scripture says, "Do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." Sometimes we think our greatest call is to somebody way out somewhere that aren't saved. But you know that the Lord has special care also for those that are in special need and that are doing everything they can to live for Him and to serve Him. Saints, we're in a time this morning where we need each other. Congregates, you're needed by each other in this congregation. We need to be strong for each other, because there's times when we won't be strong and we're weak and we need somebody else to be strong right around us. This group right here this morning, you all depend on each other more than you think. And you need each other. And the Lord wants you to be caring and there. God wants you to be present. God doesn't want us to be absent. I know you can go through a time of uncertainty, time of loss. Sometimes it's easy to fold up, close up shop, and go home. Don't do that. We need each other. This is the time to band together. It's the time to come out to service. It's the time to pick up the phone. It's time to pull out the cards and the stamps. To care about each other. You are needed. And nobody can take your place. And I believe God's calling us by name because there's likely somebody standing at our gate. May God bless each one of you is my prayer this morning as we endeavor to do His will and to be a strength to those that are lost and to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Pray for me.